This is 8 Minutes, a podcast helping you understand the energy and climate challenge in just a few minutes. I'm your host, Paul Schuster. On March 6th, the Securities and Exchange Commission released their highly anticipated rules regarding climate disclosure. These regulations will require public companies to disclose the risks and opportunities related to how the company is mitigating their impact on climate change and how they are adapting to a changing environment. There's a lot of information out there on what the rules mean and what organizations will need to do to comply. Today, though, I plan to dig a level deeper and discuss the potential impact of the rules on sustainability and discuss some of the challenges that the SEC will face in implementing these rules as they move forward. 8 minutes. It's how long it takes the sun's rays to hit Earth, or in honor of St. Patrick's Day, about long enough to get through two renditions of Danny Boy. Let's get it on. The SEC oversees about 12,000 publicly traded companies in the United States. This is the organization that requires quarterly earning filings and annual reports and ensures that investors know about the risks that they are incurring through investing into these public companies. One of the risks that's becoming increasingly important to investors is climate, which is why the SEC released their long-awaited rules on reporting business risk attributed to climate back on March 6th. The initial reaction to these rules was, well, no one was happy. On the one side, environmental groups were dismayed that the SEC had watered down the requirements for companies to report upon their supply chain emissions. And on the other side, 10 states have actually sued the SEC in an effort to rein back any reporting requirements. If you've heard anything about these rules during the last couple of weeks, it's probably related to one or both of those consequential actions. Me, I'm going to put the Scope 3 and jurisdictional questions to the side for the moment and talk about the rules as they stand and what the impact could be with what was released. First, it's important to remember that the SEC is developing these rules for investors. Institutional investors in particular have indicated that they want more insight into how climate is impacting the companies into which they're investing. Similar to financial risk, climate risk is a real thing. So the first thing that the SEC rules require is for registrants to report on, quote, the actual and potential material impacts of any identified climate-related risks on the registrant's strategy, business model, and outlook. This isn't a very unique requirement. The SEC already requires companies to provide a narrative on the material risks to their businesses. This simply calls it out specifically for climate-related risks. The new rule does require companies to report on their transition plans, though. They have to describe whether they've made voluntary commitments, their actions to meet those targets, the board structure and business model changes that they foresee being required for compliance. And while many companies are already doing this, the SEC standardizes the reporting so that investors have a consistent set of comparison criteria and, hopefully, minimizes the potential for greenwashing. For those companies already reporting in compliance with the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, this is going to look familiar. The SEC rules also require companies to report, within their financial statements, the quantified financial impacts of severe weather events. So, companies will have to disclose how a fire or a flood or some other issue affected their losses and their business. Again, not a ridiculous request, given that investors want to evaluate the exposure that companies have to climate-related events. If a company's main operations are likely to be impacted by flooding for the foreseeable future, well, investors are going to want to take that into account when figuring out a fair valuation. What will be interesting is how certain companies, namely ones who have resisted voluntary reporting up until this point, comply with these new rules. What the SEC, and by proxy the investor community, is saying is that it's no longer allowed to bury your head in the sand and pretend like these risks don't exist. What are you going to do to minimize these risks to your company? What's your plan? And then the third leg of the stool is that for large companies above about $75 million in equity value, the SEC went a bit further, requiring these organizations to report on their Scope 1 and Scope 2 emissions. This starts to move from climate resilience into climate mitigation, and what actions companies are taking to reduce their impact on the environment. This is probably the most contentious aspect of the rules, as companies that have not been voluntarily reporting their emissions in accordance to the GHG corporate standard, will now find themselves having to do so. And while about 45% of companies are already complying, that means the other 55% is going to have to figure it out. Fortunately for those companies, Scope 3 reporting, or all the emissions outside of their direct control and embedded within their value chain, well, those emission reporting requirements were struck from the final rule. That is a huge concern for environmentalists, who were really hoping that Scope 3 would stay within the ruling. There's been a lot of hyperbole about how ineffective the SEC rules are without that reporting requirement. But, well, here's the thing. The SEC is actually a little late to the party in compliance reporting. The International Sustainability Standards Board, the ISSB, issued their reporting rules last year. The UK's Financial Conduct Authority has already been requiring their companies to submit transition plans. And California passed legislation last year under SB 253 and SB 261 that not only require climate risk commentary, but reporting of scopes 1, 2, and 3 for large companies. That California law is likely to impact 5,000 or so companies, or a little less than half of the companies under SEC purview. And because of the Scope 3 reporting requirement, California's law is likely to reach down into the supply chain and touch nearly every other company that isn't directly impacted. For those that still slip through, well, if they're doing business overseas, it's likely that they'll have to comply with the international standards as well, which to me means that the SEC has set a pretty low bar on climate disclosures. Yes, they'll help to standardize reporting, but they also run the risk of adding to an increasingly complex and confusing set of reporting requirements across a wide swath of jurisdictions. ISSB, FCA, SEC, California, let's throw in TCFD, CDP. In a sense, my worry is that the SEC rules have done nothing more than create political fodder rather than any relevant climate relevancy. To wit, over this past weekend, the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court in Louisiana put a stay on the SEC's implementation of the rules, per a lawsuit from two oil services firms. The lawsuit is on top of the one mentioned earlier from 10 Republican attorneys general, which is also different than a similar suit by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We're likely at the front end of a lot of litigation around these new rules. But at its core, the SEC rules are meant to provide investors with the information that they need to make better, more informed investment decisions. Climate risk is a part of that now. And even if the SEC rules are watered down and lack the bite of the other regulations, it does at least put a starting point out there. Unifying all of these various reporting requirements will need to be what comes next. I'm Paul Schuster, and this has been your 8 Minutes.